Today we honor the passion of St. John the Baptist, or the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist. We celebrate his birthday with great joy and festivity, and normally we mourn the death of someone, but we celebrate the death of John the Baptist because his death, if we can get past the gruesome details of it, his death represents his victory, his perseverance to the very end, his fulfillment of his mission. So it is something to celebrate. John is the precursor. He goes before Jesus in his birth. He goes before Jesus in his death. He goes before Jesus in his preaching. He's everything he does is to prepare the way for the Lord, including to prepare the way for the passion and death of Jesus. So John has this extraordinary role, and he fulfills it completely. So something to celebrate. Now, to reflect on this, why someone as great as John and the greatest of the prophets, why he was put to death, it might be helpful to reflect back on what we learned on Sunday. If you remember, in Sunday's gospel, Jesus was getting to the end of the discourse on the bread of life, and many of his disciples left him. They went back to their former way of life. Now, Jesus, I mean, he was a miracle worker, he was a healer, he was a profound speaker, he's full of wisdom, he's obviously a man of God. Even if they didn't believe he was yet the Son of God or the Messiah, why did they, I mean, they were willing to follow him to a certain point, right? Many, many were following him until this point, and then they said, nope, this is too much, this saying's too much, and we're not going to take it anymore. And that's something like what we see with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, everybody knew he was a man of God. Even his opponents knew he was a man of God. He was obviously a prophet. He spoke truth to everyone. He called everyone back to God. He baptized people. And he gathered a lot of people who thought he might even be the Messiah. So you would think a guy like that would just be so popular and so, you know, practically make him the king. But no, just like it happened when Jesus spoke about the Eucharist, John spoke about, in this case, fidelity in marriage. In fact, he called everyone to repentance. And anyone who didn't want to repent was opposed to John the Baptist. In this case, John runs afoul of King Herod. Herod, who was married to the wife of his brother. So that's Herodias is the wife. So Herod here, following in the tradition of many powerful men who do whatever they want and marry whomever they want. This is not news to us. But very often the men get all the blame in these cases, and very often they aren't to blame. You know, so many cases of powerful men, kings and presidents and dictators who take whom they want and do what they want. I want to think about famous kings. Think of King David himself. David and Bathsheba. He took someone else's wife and had the husband killed. In this case of Herod, he took someone else's wife, his brother's wife, and he had John killed. So it's one of these examples of abuse of power. But in the case of Herod, we can't forget that Herodias is actually a very big part of the picture. And she has an even worse spiritual condition than Herod does. Because Herod is at least he's conflicted interiorly. He at least recognizes that he shouldn't have John killed. I mean, his conscience is still alive to that degree. In fact, he likes John. It says it here. He feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and he kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. And when the request came through the girl, I mean, it was the mother's request. The girl said, "What should I ask for?" And the mother says, "Well, ask for the head of John the Baptist." You see where her inner life is. It's all vengeance. It's all violent hatred Herodias harbored a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herodias is the wicked one here. Well, Herod is also wicked, but he's more weak. Anyway, when the request comes to kill John, the king is deeply distressed. He doesn't want to do it. Okay, I'm not justifying Herod, but I don't want to miss the fact that that there's another kind of power besides the power of kings and tyrants. There's also this manipulative, underhanded, vindictive power like we see in Herodias, and that sometimes is just as dangerous, sometimes worse, because Herod, in fact, is under the control of Herodias to some degree. He's still responsible for himself, but Herodias is the orchestrator of this brutal, horrendous death of the holy man, John. Okay, so this is what we're dealing with. John persevering in the face of evil leaders in an evil time. John is a prophet, and he's the supreme example of a prophet. Prophets are the powers that be always hate prophets. They always do, because prophets speak from a foundation that the political powers can't touch. Most people who speak on and on have some kind of ambition and some kind of self-interest, but the prophets are sent by God and they speak for God, and they don't seem to have any concern about themselves. I mean, they're willing to risk everything to speak the truth, and they'll speak to anybody to whom God sends them, and that's what makes them really dangerous. Dangerous, subversive, from the perspective of political power. This also reminds us of why we need prophets all the time. We need prophets. We need somebody to speak the truth. We can't trust politicians to speak the truth. I've only been in the country, 4 days, 5 days? How can I not be immersed in the turmoil of the political situation of the United States? And there's a lot of just nasty talk on both sides, and it's a very unpleasant conversation. But where are the prophets? I noticed that neither of the major political parties in the United States is willing to talk anymore about same-sex marriage, for example. In fact, neither one of the parties is willing to stand up for the unborn anymore. I'm not saying they're equal, because the Democrats hail abortion as a great thing. At least the Republicans don't say anything, or they quibble about how many weeks and all that. But they're missing the fundamental truth of innocent life. I mean, so you can't depend on politicians to speak the truth the way a prophet does. Neither party wants to talk about the evil of reproductive technologies. I say same-sex marriage, abortion is a mess. How many other things are, you know, as the culture moves to the left, even the people on the right move to the left. And not that right is always, I mean, politically right is always correct, but truth is the principle, truth. And when people speak the truth and they don't have any dog in the race, or they don't have any political gain or any ambition about making something for themselves, they're very dangerous because you can't stop them. That's why prophets, or sometimes they're considered political activists, that's why they get thrown in jail. That's why they get snuffed out. Well, that's what happened here. So I want to honor John the Baptist, but I also want to honor the prophetic mission of the church, which all of us share. I mean, all of us are baptized, and we're baptized priest, prophet, and king. And a prophet has a responsibility to speak the truth, not because we're any better than anyone else, but because the truth is the most loving gift we can give to people who are in error. It's a loving thing to do, to speak the truth. Now, in the right way, and to the right people at the right time, and not, you don't just blab to everybody about all their evils. That's not love. But it is necessary that the truth be proclaimed. It's necessary for all of us, because who of us can make our way through this difficult and confused world without somebody reminding us of the truth. That's the work of the prophets. So we need this mission of John in every age. One example of a prophet that just comes to mind, Paul VI was a prophet when he spoke out against contraception. I mean, almost nobody wanted him to say that this magic pill everybody was hailing had anything wrong with it. Nobody wanted him to say that, but he spoke the truth and he was basically crucified for it publicly, even by his own brother bishops. I mean, even the church, in a sense, beheaded Paul VI for upholding, proclaiming the truth. So that's an example of a prophet, and it's not a pleasant role, but it is a great gift from God to us, and it's a great responsibility of all of us to fulfill whatever prophetic role we have. And with that, we give praise to God, God who shines his light on every age and on every person, who's constantly giving the gift of his life. John the Baptist isn't the only one who sacrifices himself, right? Jesus Christ is the example. Excuse me. So with that gift, we have hope and we have encouragement. We have strength to persevere in our own mission in this world.